Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off this week's daily editorials with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. I usually feature Mike on the weekend show, but I wanted to save his segment to kick off this week because, look, in all fairness, I think everybody needed the weekend to kind of sit back and digest some of those crazy moves, volatile moves, especially in the commodities throughout last week, and break down exactly what the Fed had to say. And Mike, that's where I want to start, is that, look, the Fed came out with a statement that was a little bit different than the past few statements and Powell's press conference about thinking about talking about raising rates, and some of the dot plots a couple years out moved a bit more forward. The market sure took that as a almost end of the inflation trade and a guarantee that the Fed's going to be hiking, even though they said no hikes, at least in the near term. Again, commodities, volatile markets, kind of weathered that storm. U.S. dollar moved higher. What, out of all of the crazy moves that we saw last week, Mike, what caught your eyes the most?
Sure. I mean, you're absolutely right. This was kind of I wouldn't go as far as calling it a shocker from the Fed, but it was definitely a change in tone, a change in evaluation of market conditions, and really a bit of a surprise for what I think a lot of people on Wall Street were expecting. I mean, you look at the Fed's tone, Powell in his press conference, and the statement that accompanied the decision to do nothing now, but basically, as Powell said, now they're talking about dialing down QE, money printing, bond buying down the road. Powell sounded very optimistic about things like employment growth. I mean, the Fed has laid down put down a marker this time around and strongly suggested we're going to keep policy super easy until employment is not just strong, but booming. They've been putting inflation concerns on the back burner and focusing a lot more on the other side of their sort of dual mandate. But what Powell said in his press conference was that he thinks, that basically that employment is going to be booming in only maybe a year or two. He sounded very optimistic about that, talking a lot about COVID going to the back burner and, vaccinations going back and a lot of, people being able to find jobs very easily and so on. It was a very bullish economic take. That I think was there wasn't so many caveats. There wasn't so many, we're still waiting for X, Y, and Z to happen. Well, even if A, B, and C happen, we're still going to keep rates low forever and so on and so forth. That had been the previous tone the Fed had taken, but they definitely had a shift in this post-meeting press conference. And then that was followed up by James Bullard, the St. Louis Fed guy, on Friday, talking and basically reiterated. I mean, the Fed's very careful and diligent about its messaging. If they thought the markets reacted, quote-unquote, wrong to something they said or did, they will trot out a new person a day later and sometimes even the same day to say, well, actually, what we meant is XYZ. But when Bullard came on, he basically towed the party line and said, yes, we did essentially want to be a little bit hawkish. We think inflation is more of a concern than we expected. Yes, we do think employment growth and economic growth is accelerating faster than we thought. And Bullard, they always have that dot plot. But Bullard admitted he was one of the dots that was in late 2022 as opposed to 2023 or beyond. So, again, a relatively hawkish message all around. And the market reaction, because there was such a change of tack, was pretty important all across the board. I mean, we saw, as you said, the dollar rise. As noted, commodities, particularly precious metals, get hammered. Gold had its worst week since March 2020, I read somewhere. You saw everything basically except for oil get hit pretty hard, and you saw rotation in the markets. You saw safety sectors go on pick up while things that are more aggressive, materials, industrials, finance, get smacked. And in the interest rate markets, what's funny is that more hawkish message on inflation growth hammered the back end of the yield curve down, meaning long-term interest rates, 30-year bond interest rates, for example, plunged in the wake of the Fed talk, while short-term interest rates, very short-term interest rates from, let's call it, 5 years down to 2 years to 1 year and so on, all of those front-end interest rates shot up. And essentially, that's the bond market saying, whoa, this Fed's getting more aggressive. They're going to hike sooner, so we should basically sell off the front end of the yield curve and send those yields higher because of the Fed, but also buy the long end of the curve, send those interest rates down. So again, lots of market action in bonds and stocks, commodities, you name it.
Mike, big picture, if we take a step back here and see the pop in the dollar and the move down in commodities, is that speaking to you that maybe that whole inflation trade, even though the data supported it, got a little ahead of itself here?
So when you look at what's happening in certain commodities and sort of some of the inflation indicators, the data itself has been lousy for the last couple of months. You know, you've seen big increases in the CPI, the PPI, import prices, and so on. But at the same time, you've seen commodity prices, even before the last week's Fed news, start to come down. I mean, some of the hot commodities, things like lumber, which had been soaring, had already lost several hundred dollars in price. Things like industrial commodities, copper, for example, you know, they've had a huge rally, but even copper for several weeks had been sort of, you know, going sideways to down. And then you also saw interest rates, even before this Fed news, frankly, longer-term interest rates hadn't moved anywhere for about 3.5 months. So despite a bunch of lousy, red-hot inflation data, you saw essentially the bond market not even bat an eyelash at it. So again, I think the market was probably sniffing out a few things, maybe some cool down in demand, you know, housing, maybe some of the housing market coming off the boil after huge run-ups here in the U.S. Maybe you're also seeing some of the steps that, say, China was taking. I mean, China had said they were going to release some stockpiles of industrial metals into the market to try and tame pricing. And then on top of it, of course, all of those moves, you know, those sort of sideways moves really got extremely volatile as soon as the Fed news came out.
Yeah, they did. Boy, oh boy. And that's an interesting environment, though, isn't it? That we were in even before the Fed meeting, where markets were boring, bonds were boring, even currencies were a little boring. Commodities were not, though. Commodities were the ones that went through a huge rise and then had already started to correct. Is that good for the commodity sector when we see higher volatility?
You know, I think that it definitely creates opportunities. I mean, you know, for a trader, it's, if you're a shorter term trader, I mean, some of these moves, you get these kinds of big run ups and big decline, the opportunity to make a lot of money is certainly there. If you're a long term investor, you know, and you're looking at pullbacks, you're saying, okay, the economic environment's probably still pretty decent. There's probably still a pretty good chance that Biden's going to get a lot, if not all, of what he wants in terms of infrastructure and so on. And, you know, let's talk about the Fed here. Sure, the Fed signaled kind of a change in tack. But, I mean, again, they're still not talking about raising interest rates until at the very earliest, late next year. More likely, it's probably the consensus, at least, especially the people that are, you know, at the top of the Fed, the chairman, vice chairman, and so on, they're probably looking at 2023. You know, throw in on top of that the fact that you still have demand for, you know, safety. You still have very low interest rates and QE coming, not just in the U.S. for some time, but also overseas. All those factors tend to tell me this is more of a correction than any kind of collapse. I don't think we're going to see, you know, an implosion in commodities. I don't think you're going to see a thing where gold, it continues to fall by hundreds of dollars because there's this huge interest rate threat coming. I just don't think that's that kind of environment. So from a longer-term investment standpoint, I mean, these are some opportunities to start picking and choosing and getting involved if, you know, you missed out during the big rally we had last year and earlier this year.
So where are you focusing then, Mike? Where do you think offers the best opportunity now that we have seen some of this volatility? And do you think now is the time to be aggressive? Because in all fairness, for the last year plus, one of the worst spots to be was in cash. You wanted to have your money working for you. Is that environment changing?
Sure. I think that even with the Fed news and the shifts we're seeing in the bond market, and maybe even because of them, I still think you've got to be focused on income investing. You've got to be focused on dividends. You've got to be focused on where you can get some yield from reliable companies that are growing their dividend. I mean, look at what happened at the long end of the Treasury curve. We saw, you know, very large post-Fed declines in, say, 30-year bond yields, and to a lesser degree, 10-year yields as well. That is going to remove some of the interest rate competition that tends to hold back stocks like utilities, tends to hold back REITs, tends to hold back gold miners and other precious metals. So once the sort of short-term selling squall gets out of the way, those are the kinds of things that I think you can go back to for decent yield, for some growing income, for better than Treasury yields, especially as those yields, you know, after going sideways for 3.5 months, begin to decline. So that's why I put a lot of my effort, and I am putting a lot of my effort in terms of finding value and opportunities for our investors.
All right, Mike, final comment then. Do you see a big drop coming for these markets? Look, a lot of people are talking bearish, although I feel like we constantly have the bears out there, and they've been wrong for a long time. Is that environment going to change?
Sure. I mean, you know, I'll be the first to signal a big shift if I really think it's coming, and to get very aggressive in paring back exposure. And I'm not afraid to call a crash if I see one coming. I mean, we did it about housing years ago, and certainly we warned about other things in the credit markets from time to time. But what this looks like to me for now is more of sort of your garden variety selling squall correction, whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's the start of some new bear market. And it's typically because you don't see real pain until, you know, the Fed starts stacking rate increases one after the other. You know, you have to at least get a couple of those in the can before you historically have seen real issues for the market. So I think this is more just some of the boil coming off, you know, a little bit, and it's still something that you want to be buying pullbacks. But of course, I'll be watching. I mean, we have been through an extraordinarily long period of asset inflation, very low volatility, lots of people glomming on to, you know, every little bit of profit they can get from a very, very easy Fed. A very easy fiscal, you know, fiscal regime. If that begins to change, then we'll change with it. But again, I don't think we're at that point yet where I'd be, you know, shouting sell from the rooftop, certainly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mike, for these insights. Very interesting way to kick off this week. And yeah, well, who knows exactly where these markets are going to go. But last week, I think definitely did open up some eyes and definitely hurt some portfolios. But that can also produce some opportunities there. Mike, great chatting with you. Thanks again for taking some time today and kicking off our week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Sure thing. Same to you.